My name is John Erling, and today's date is June 24th, 2022. So, Scooter, would you state your full name, please?
George Basil Seagraves III.
And then the obvious question is, where does the scooter part come in?
Well, the scooter part is that I was too fat to crawl, so I scooted, and that happened. But I thought the other obvious question was going to be, with that name, why weren't you that third shingle on the small town law firm?
So it did come
and
from...
And that's simply because my father died at a time when, if he had lived another 2 years, I probably would have been that. But he died so that I no longer had the, your father is a lawyer, your grandfather's a lawyer, you will be a lawyer. And I happened to love radio and realized that I didn't want to be a lawyer.
Yeah. So scooter does come from childhood. You scooted along.
When I was a child, when I was at midterm of my first grade year in school, we moved from Little Rock, Arkansas to Stuttgart, Arkansas. I was one of four kids in my Junior Shannon School first grade class with the name Scooter. By the fourth grade, the only other one that was called Scooter was a guy who is now about 6'7" and about 240. So he unscootered, and I ended up being it the whole rest of my life.
My wife, when I told her I was interviewing you, she grew up in Tulsa and a baby boomer, and she remembers you. And you said, she said, you can tell him that I never, she's saying this now, I never knew who you were until I met you. But if your name had been Scooter Seagraves, I would have known who you were.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's my wife.
You know, it's funny. I was just looking over old quotations here, and I saw the one by the Scottish poet Robert Burns, you give us the gift of seeing ourselves as others see us. I wish I could have done that on hearing myself, because very honestly, the reason I never went to any bigger stations than I did was that I could so little stand to listen to one of my tapes that the thought of sitting with a program director who would make me the kind of DJ that would make me the kind of money I wanted, I would have to listen to me every day. And so I took a shorter, much less productive way out, but I guess I helped some small stations be a little better than they might have been.
Oh, no question. Your date of birth?
January 24th, 1940.
That makes you
how old? 82 years old.
82.
I never thought this would happen, John.
Yeah, I know. I'm there with you. And we are recording this interview. I am in our Voices of Oklahoma office in Tulsa. Where are you right now, Scooter?
I'm in a little retirement village on Bulls Hills Lake in North Arkansas called Diamond City. If you're familiar with Branson, Missouri, John, just get in Branson, go straight south, either have good water wings or a boat, and about 15 miles you'll be in my backyard.
Okay.
Unfortunately, drive it is about 58 twisty, hilly, bad miles.
Where were you born?
I was born at Trinity Hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas.
All right. Your mother's name, maiden name, and where she grew up?
Marion Louise Davidson. She was one of 10 surviving of 11 children for Frank and, I can't think of my grandmom's name, Davidson, in Mabelvale, Arkansas.
What was her personality like? Can you describe her for us?
Mom, by the time I knew her, by the time I was sentient enough to know her, was frankly pretty bitter, and for a lot of good reasons. My dad, as some of us males on his side of the family, tended toward alcoholism and was at the same time very driven, and he was very demanding. And as far as he was concerned, he said something, and we all said, "How high, sir?" Mm-hmm. And so by the time he died, after various fights over them, over his hiding his liquor when his parents were coming to town, she didn't have a lot of good things to think about men or humanity in general. And sadly, being A, human, B, supposedly a man, and C, a Seagraves man, Mother and I loved each other, but we had a lot of times we didn't like each other.
Yeah. So then your father's name?
George Basil Seagraves Jr.
And he grew up in Arkansas as well?
He was in a little town in northeast Arkansas called Osceola, or if you're in Florida or Kansas, Osceola. And he started the University of Arkansas at age 16 and was one of the youngest persons ever to graduate from the university. And he joined, I think at first he joined his father in a two-person firm there in Osceola. Then he went to Little Rock for the federal group, the Works Progress Association, or administration, whatever they were. And that's where we were living until he decided to get out of that, move to Stuttgart, and join a two-man practice there.
So then maybe you've already described his personality. What was it like? And did he struggle with alcoholism?
He had a very serious tendency. He would come in on Friday night. Now, first of all, you have to understand, we Seagraves all have light skin, very sensitive skin, very dark beards. I would see Daddy using nothing but bits of hand soap, scrape himself up and down, have Band-Aids all over his face before he scraped himself, and still would never not be at the office or in court on time Monday through Friday. Friday evening, he'd come in, he'd head out, and sometime over the weekend, one of the local policemen would bring him home and say, "Miss Marion, he's in pretty good shape, but I think you might get him to bed soon. He's going to be sick." Mm. And then Monday morning, he'd do it all over again. Mm. John, he had been in World War II. He and my favorite uncle, the one I would have chosen for my father if I'd had that choice, they were both in the Battle of the Bulge. Uncle Leroy came back with a steel plate in his head. Daddy came back with what we now know as PTSD. Back then, I think they called it either shell shock or battle fatigue. So he was a very angry and very driven man. Hmm. And didn't have a lot of tolerance of anything or anybody.
Yeah.
I was a wimp, so you can imagine the crushing effect that had on any thought of me possibly having some worth somehow, somewhere, in some entity.
Yeah. Did you have brothers or sisters?
I had a younger sister. She's a year younger than I am. She's living up here about 15 minutes from me.
Okay.
She was a year behind me in school. She was the one that always heard, "Oh, George was such a marvelous student, and he always had such wonderful grades," which she took as meaning, "And you're a dummy." No, George was lucky enough he could read anything once and ace the test. Sis, as we both learned when we hit college, had the better idea. She studied and learned how to learn things. So she and I had, for years and years and years, in fact, your radio station was a big part of the years and years conflict between us. She'd say, "Well, Scooter, my kids at Foster Elementary want to know what's going on at your little teeny bopper radio station. Andy and I listen to KRMG. And until a personally upsetting thing in my part of the family happened about 40 years ago, sister and I were as bad about loving but not liking each other as mother and I. And now sister would probably walk through a landmine to protect me.
Yeah, yeah. Your education, where did you start your first school?
Well, I went to the first half year of my first grade year at the Robert E. Lee Elementary near the state capitol and near the zoo in Little Rock. Then at midterm that year, we moved to Stuttgart. I went from there to Julius Shannon Elementary, then to Burkle Street Elementary, then to Stuttgart High, and then to the University of Tulsa.